Hi, everyone. Steve Adubato. This is Lessons in Leadership. And just a few minutes in our second segment, my colleague and co-host and executive producer, Mary Gambo, will join us. But we kick off the program with our good friend. He's been a good friend over a long period of time. Joe Gingoli is CEO and chairman of the board of Gingoli. Joe, you doing all right today?
Good morning. It's really nice to be back with you, Steve. And we have a couple of special guests today with us.
Yeah, and Joe, you'll tell us about Rashida Smith. We first see Senior Project Administrator at Gingoli and Kareem Mohammed, Senior Community Outreach Coordinator at Gingoli. First of all, thank you, new friends. It's great to have you with us. Joe, tell us who our friends are and why this initiative is so important.
So representing our competitive edge team today is Kareem Mohammed and Rashida. And we, 20 years ago, building a project in Newark, implementing, you know, Rob Lee and myself, our competitive edge program and our client, DevCo.
With our friend Chris Palladino. You know, Joe, I'm remiss, Joe. I'm thinking everybody knows Gingoli. Gingoli is not only Joe's name, it's the name of a major development, construction operation, employs so many people. This is an initiative at University Hospital in Newark, right, Joe?
Yes.
Talk about it, Greg. Yep. I'm sorry.
So we're bringing our team of people, coworkers, career employees of Gingoli, to build the hospital in Newark for our client DevCo. And over the years, we've recruited and trained and adopted people from the city of Newark into our different businesses. And what we're going to do on this particular project is kind of bring everybody back together, from whether they're in DCO Energy or JDC or Gingoli Construction or Underground or Energy Divisions, where they've, you know, kind of populated throughout our different companies. We've gotten the leadership from each of the different branches to support us gathering up our career employees and bringing them to Newark, back to where we originally met years ago, and sometimes a couple of decades ago, and build this project in Newark together.
This is huge. Let me ask you this, Kareem. First of all, thank you for joining us, you and Rashida.
Thank you, Steve. You're born
and raised where, Kareem?
In Newark. The north side of Newark, Park Avenue and 11th Street.
How about Highland Avenue and Verona?
Oh, yeah.
That's the other town. I was in the poor section. Let me try this, Kareem. I'm curious about this. So, Joe, we've been partners with Joe for a long time. And this is, while this is a leadership show, Lessons in Leadership, employment, career development is a huge part of that. What has it meant to you professionally and personally to be able to work on this massive project at university through Joe and his team?
The opportunity is just sort of unheard of when you think about the industry and when we're into inner cities, things like that. The involvement is not what it should be. And with what Joe has done with the Competitive Edge team to come in, comb the city for individuals to mentor, to train, to hire. It's just a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah. Rashida, talk to us. What's it meant to you?
I always tell the Gingoli brothers, it has changed my life. I come from the inner city of Newark. I come from...
Hold on. There are 5 wards in the city. What part of the city are you from?
I actually was born and raised down off of Frilahizen Avenue between Seth Borton and Dayton Street.
Is that the South Ward or the East Ward?
That is, Kareem, help me out. That's the South Ward.
I know I'm getting too inside, Joe, but go ahead, Rashida, pick up your point.
So, you know, I always tell the brothers all the time that, you know, they saved my life because I was one of the ones that was running the streets in Newark at a young age, getting into trouble. And, you know, unfortunately, that trouble cost me to do some time. And when I came home, I had a hard time getting a job. And so, you know, through mutual connections and you know, networking, I was introduced to the brothers, and they brought me in for an interview, and the rest is history. I've been with Jigoli 8.5 years now.
Wow. Joe, we've had so many conversations on the air, but mostly off. Beyond the professional gratification for you, Chris Paladino, and at DevCo and others involved in this initiative, what does it mean to you personally at this point in your career to hear what you just heard from Rashida and Kareem?
I mean, it's incredibly fulfilling. The concept that, you know, my brother and I were basically raised with is that your business is part of a community, and it's a two-way street. So from that little, you know, construction yard on Calhoun Street in Trenton, where, you know, we had people from the community working, you know, in the company, you know, career employees that kind of raised my brother and I, we just took that concept with us as the business has grown, you know, regionally and nationally, and then sometimes, you know, we
have international
projects, that you recruit and train people where you're building, and then you're part of the community. So when Chris, you know, gave us the DevCo, Chris Paladino, gave us the opportunity to come back and do another project in Newark, I sat with Kareem and Rob Lee, who heads up, you know, Competitive Edge, and I said, hey, let's gather everybody up. So we have people throughout our companies from many cities, many places, you know. And so I said, but let's target the people who had long-term careers here at Jigoli, and let's ask, you know, wherever they're working, can they come to Jigoli General Construction and come back to Newark for this project? So we gather a large group. And whether it's, you know, Donald Moore, the head of safety, who
that's right,
we, you know, we recruited and trained and found when we were building a Newark switch for PSE&G, or Rashida, you know, who we had met with. Rashida, which project did we meet you on?
The Donald Payne Vocational School in Newark.
And Kareem, we met through one of our PSE&G projects. And, you know, they are career employees. They are my coworkers. Yeah. They have developed, you know, the skill sets and working in parts of the business that they bring tremendous value. And, you know, I really want to acknowledge, you know, the head of the operating companies who all agree, because these are valuable career employees in many different roles in the company. And we're bringing them together. I mean, we have a couple of young guys that, Kareem, Ishmael was what? 18 years old?
Ishmael was 17 when we did the Competitive Ed program in Central High School in Newark.
And is that a young man who's still, Kareem, part of the operation, part of the team?
Yes, Ishmael's actually a boss right now.
Hold on, you got a 17-year-old kid from Newark, comes on board, Joe, Kareem, and Rashida, and now is a leader, a supervisor.
Yes.
Now this is what, 10 years later? I mean, he's right. Not, as, you know. Or is it longer than that, Kareem? He's born.
For Ishmael, it's 10 years later, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, he's worked through all different branches of the company.
Right.
And, you know, so we had to go to Ishmael and say, Ish, you know, we've got this initiative. Do you mind stepping over to GC? Because he's worked in many divisions. And so everybody's kind of on board with this, because it's like, look at this. We have all these people. We have these great employees that have bring tremendous value to the company. And now we have this project. So really what we're trying to do here in this particular instance is to say, what a great place to recruit your next generation of employees and leadership than Newark when you're building a project, or if you're operating a business in.
You know, as we listen to Joe, in a couple minutes we have left, Kareem, let me ask you, Rashida, this. In lessons in leadership, my colleague Mary Gamm and I, we push teamwork, relationships, collaboration. These relationships that were established a long time ago, you're talking about Ish, who was 17 and now a leader. How important, Kareem, are these relationships to successful leading projects? not just on paper it looks good, but the relationships are so strong, Kareem.
Is very important. So it brings me to mind when you're nurtured in your family. Joe sort of says, you know, the kitchen table, that you grow up around certain
That's
things
right.
at your kitchen table. And so Joe has just made this environment the kitchen table. When we go into the neighborhoods and we, you know, we recruit, we hire, we train, and we mentor individuals just to change lives. And that's what it does. It changes lives.
Final
thoughts, Joe.
What I really like to stress is this is good business. This is not charity. This is a very important part of the success of our company. And when you talk about, besides great coworkers doing their day-to-day job, it brings a tremendous amount of added value when you are part of a community.
That's right.
So, it must have been 10 years ago, Mayor Baraka was just elected, and we were building a substation for PSE&G, and we had hired 8 young people from the community. And, you know, they're working in organized labor. They're working, you know, in the project. They're an integral part of the day-to-day operations of the project. And I get a call, and, you know, Mayor Baraka, who's got 300,000 people to worry about, said, I understand you hired and gave good career jobs to a group of young men from our community. I said, yes, sir. I said, but I understand how busy you are, Mayor. I only hired 8 people. He says, that's 8 people I don't have to worry about.
8 families. Impact. Final words, Rashida, please.
I just want to add that, you know, like Joe said, it was only 8 people, but like Steve said, it's families, right? So when, even though I moved out of Newark, I still have family there. So when I come to Newark with my 10-year-old daughter, my daughters a lot of times say, Mommy, there go the job you used to work at. Mommy, there go the building you built. So you like, it's like, you know, it's showing my daughter that her mom, where she was born and raised, you know, not only worked in her community, but it has a building in the community that she can always ride by and see and know that her mother, you know, worked on that project. And it gives my daughter hope, you know, that one day she can also probably follow in my footsteps and give back to her community as well. So it's an awesome thing to be able to not only be born and raised in the city, but also to go back and give to your city, you know, provide something valuable to your city. And then you ride past it every day and look at it.
Pride. Family, economic support, the importance of having a career, a job that makes a difference. And Joe said, all starts at Joe's kitchen table is getting bigger every day. To Joe and Rashida and Kareem, we thank you so much. Joe, we'll keep telling these stories. And
thank you, Steve.
With all the negativity in the world, with all the people who don't get along, who blame each other, don't get anything done, Joe Gingoli and his team, Chris Palladino, other partners, collaborators, and people like Rashida and Kareem making it happen every day. They don't give enough attention. Thanks, folks. This is Lessons in Leadership.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, Joe Gingoli and others help us do what we do because that's partnership too. We'll be right back. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Vecino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. Mary Gamba joins me, my co-host and colleague, and we are also joined by Dr. Sidney S. Williams, Jr., independent director at Valley Bank, one of our longtime partners in the financial community. Sidney, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Ken. Glad to be with you this morning.
You got, and you're also a pastor where?
In Morristown, Bethel AME Church, oldest African-American church in Morris County.
Wonderful. Talk to us about, there are different kinds of leadership. There's leadership in your church. There's leadership in the community. There's media leadership. But there's board leadership, leadership on a board of trustees, board of directors. Is that different in any way? And if so, how, Dr. Williams?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've now served 5 years on the board of Valley National Bank. For the most part, it's really focused on regulation and governance. But there's a people factor. And what I've discovered, even though I'm a graduate of Wharton Business School, have worked in Wall Street, investment banking, the experience of leading people and guiding people through difficult times, uncertain times, has proven to be a great contribution to the board of Valley. We went through the pandemic, we went through changes in regulation and tremendous uncertainty, and being able to give a voice to that and still protect the people who work for us and make Valley Bank what we are, I found that leadership to be consistent.
Absolutely. Mary, jump in.
Dr. Williams, talk a little bit about growth. You talked about making sure that you're staying connected to your people. Valley has grown exponentially as a financial institution. How do you continue to stay connected to your team, to your people, when the growth is happening so fast, and how do you lead that effort?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to pay attention to culture. You know, the bank that was initiated was small community bank, and now we're approaching, you know, $100 billion. The culture is changing. And how do you preserve the culture that, you know, Ira is has never worked at
Ira Robbins, sorry for interrupting, Doctor. Ira Robbins, our good longtime friend, the CEO at Valley, please.
No. I mean, he's never worked at another bank. So that culture produced him. I haven't done the research yet, but I think he's probably among very few who've only worked at one bank and has rise to the position of CEO. That culture produced him. How do we keep a culture that says, hey, you can start here as a trainee and become a CEO as we emerge to a $100 billion bank? So I think being sensitive to that culture, how do we keep what we built or produced IRA so that as people come in, hey, that's a possibility for you as well.
Mm. Dr. Let me try this. It's interesting you mentioned IRA. We've worked with IRA for years. Yvonne, who leads up People Resources, and Sabine Salvatore, we've worked with for years. We do a Valley Leadership Academy that I'm sure you're familiar with. But Ira and I talk about this all the time. Some of us are micromanagers. And in my book, Lessons in Leadership 2.0, The Tough Stuff, I write about what I like to call strategic micromanagement, meaning not crazy controlling, I got to do everything micromanagement, but touching base, getting deadlines, deliverables, connecting with the people. But a CEO, particularly one like Ira, who cares about the details and the big picture, has to interact with a board who's doing policy and big picture stuff. Here's the question. How the heck do you avoid, as a board leader, getting involved in the day-to-day because it's not your job, correct?
100%. You know, what I would often say to Ira is, you know, your board is the group of people that you can talk to who will give you honest feedback, be authentic, the stuff that keeps you up at night, you should be able to talk to your board about. You don't want to show fear to your employees or concern. It's a room where you can say, hey, look, this is the things that keep me up at night. Here's what I'm thinking about. What do you think? And we can give you honest feedback. And so I'm happy to be a part of the board. And I think we create a culture that creates a safe space for Ira to share his concerns, the stuff that keeps him up at night as he thinks about what to say to investors, to employees, to colleagues in the industry.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up on that real quick. So one of the themes that we talk about in Lessons in Leadership is executive presence and being confident in tough situations, challenging situations. But then again, you talked about vulnerability, what keeps Ira or any CEO up at night. Question, to what degree do you believe a strong leader can and should, in certain circumstances, show a degree of vulnerability and possibly fear? If they're supposed to be confident all the time, which is ridiculous because that's not real life.
Right. You know, I was a banker at Morgan Stanley back in the 90s. And I remember one of the managing directors told me, he says, you know, when you're talking to a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you want to ask the right questions. It's not giving them answers because they've got to come up with the answers themselves, but just asking the right questions. And so I've always held to that lesson. So when we're in a meeting, it's what are the right questions that keeps Ira thinking about, am I coming with the right answers? And so the key is, not so, I think of vulnerability, yes, but not knowing what questions you need to really address, right? And it's what are the key questions that make the difference?
And vulnerability is not necessarily fear. You can feel vulnerable,
Yes.
concerned, the uncertainty. Of course, that's human.
Yes.
But to show fear, it's so interesting. I'm going to quote Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is crazy when we're
That
talking about
might be
that.
a first for lessons in leadership,
You know, I
Steve.
think Arnold said it's not about being a, because he was competing in these Mr. Universe competitions before he became governor and Arnold
Yes.
in the
Yes.
movies, right?
Yes.
Conan, et cetera. He said, it's not that leaders, great leaders, are not afraid. They're afraid anyway. They're afraid, but they do it anyway.
Yes.
It's not that you're not afraid. Of course you're afraid. Okay, I'm off my soapbox, Mary. Go ahead, jump back in.
There is no transition from Arnold Schwarzenegger to any question that I may raise. So I'm just going to jump into
Okay.
life. Dr. Williams, when it comes to lifelong learning, he just mentioned the Valley Leadership Academy, and it's really about coaching, mentoring the team. Talk about your perspective, your views on the importance of lifelong learning and leadership development for any team, but especially the team at Valley.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think about Confucius who says, you know, when a student is ready, a teacher will appear. There's no such thing as failure, right? Everything is a lesson. And if you learn from your mistakes and not sort of beat yourself up, for 5 years I served on a risk committee. And when you think you got it all figured out, you know, you realize I didn't count all the risk. We were in shock when Silicon Valley Bank failed. We had an emergency board meeting making sure we had not overlooked any risk or any sort of key assumptions. So lifelong leadership, I mean, literally every week, every year, there's a new regulation change. And managing as a board member in that kind of regulatory uncertainty, it's a constant learning cycle. And I really appreciate some of the older members on our board who've been there for 20 years because they bring insight that only 20 years can give you. And so it's a lifelong learning process, and we can learn from each other.
You know, listen, as we wrap up, I want to say this. There's never been a lessons in leadership program, Dr. Williams, where we have, in fact, quoted Confucius and Arnold Schwarzenegger in the same segment. So this is a first. Someone, I want to thank you and blame me, because you, no disrespect to Arnold, but Confucius is a better quote. Thank you, Dr. Sidney Williams, Jr., Independent Director at Valley Bank, where we have been doing our stand and deliver company, doing leadership development for many years. And to Ira and Yvonne and Sabine and the team, we thank them for trusting us with helping to develop and coach their leaders. Thank you, Dr. Williams. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You got it. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague Mary Gamba has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. This is Lessons in Leadership, my colleague Mary Gamba. Hey, Mary, we've been doing a lot of coaching around team presentations. We talk about show executive presence, be confident when you present, but what about if you're in a team? So let's do this. This is going to be a mini seminar, Lessons in Leadership mini seminar on keys to successful team presentations. First bullet up, you ready? Trust each other. Without trust, no team can present. Mary, what does trust have to do with team presentations?
Trust is everything, and I also want to add the word chemistry, and you need to trust the chemistry we talk about it all the time with you and I. You can lean in. You need to trust that the other person is going to hand the ball to you when you have something to share. And also that trust also means that you're not going to monopolize the conversation.
In that spirit, next bullet point, how about this? Rescue your partner. Yeah, rescue your partner. Mary just said chemistry and trust. Mary has rescued me many times. When you do a team presentation, a team member makes a mistake or says something incorrect, and I've asked the other team member, why didn't you correct? I didn't want to embarrass them. Embarrass them, you rescue them. 20 seconds, Mary, go.
It is how you rescue them. You could simply lean in and say, Steve, wait a second, you know, let's just rewind a second. What you just said was X. Instead, what you meant was Y. Laugh about it and then move on.
Next bullet, check your ego at the door. When we're doing these team presentation coaching sessions, Mary, someone will say, I'm the person who's going to present. What's the other person going to do? What? Well, it's not about you. Yes, you can be the quarterback. You can lead it. You can facilitate it. But pull these others, the others in. Why, Mary? Because they look like potted plants if they're just sitting there. Go ahead.
You and I have often said that on this show. If we have a lot of guests, I said to you, Steve, I'm going to keep my camera off, let you do it so I'm not just sitting there. Sure, if it's a smaller group, I can contribute. But if not, you want to make sure that you're getting almost that equal time and that play back and forth.
How about this one? Have a game plan. What? Yeah. Who is supposed to do what? Very often when someone, two or three people on a team, someone's presenting and then there's dead silence. You know why that happens, Mary?
The people
what are you
that
doing?
Fail.
Dead silence to... because I said that?
Right. Why? No, I didn't know if that was like if you completed your sentence, but yeah. So those that fail to plan. And you need to plan. And if nothing else, make sure you plan who's going to do the open and then who's going to land that plane and do the close.
All right, this baseball should be a football because you're passing a football. But if you've got a ball, football, baseball, basketball, who's got the ball? I'm passing it to Mary. Mary passes it to Elvin. Elvin passes it to Frank. And by the way, even if that's the game plan, next bullet point, call an audible. What? Yeah, that's the blueprint. That's the game plan. But if you see that you're losing your audience or you see that your colleague is going on too long, call an audible.
And for those that don't know what an audible is, Steve, because some of our viewers may not know, that's making a decision to pivot in the moment and you can change and go off script based on the reaction of the audience or something that you feel that needed to be added to the conversation.
Did you just correct me in this team presentation?
I did. I had to demonstrate what we're preaching.
Yeah, by the way, that is it. Stop with the I didn't want to embarrass me. You're embarrassing the team. The team looks bad if incorrect things happen, if a colleague's going on too long, if that colleague needs to be rescued because they're losing it. They're losing track of what needs to be done. And one more bullet point here. How about this one? Oh, two more. Practice, practice, practice. Why, Mary?
Practice, 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 because practice makes progress.
Doesn't practice make perfect?
Nope. There is no such thing. We are always growing and evolving.
Yeah. By the way, I said that. Mary just... Now, check my ego out the door. I'm sorry. Last bullet, Mary. How about this? Confirm who opens and who closes. Mary, why is it so important to know exactly who's going to... There's no audible here. There's no pivoting here. Who
opens? You need to have a clear intro, clear intro message, and then a clear close and a clear close to action. And then I also am aware, Elvin is telling us, that it is time to wrap.
You know, I didn't see that in the chat, but that's it because we're calling an audible. That's the end of the program for Mary, Steve. I'm Steve. Alvin, Frank, our entire team. This is Lessons in Leadership. You just learned about team presentation. See you next time. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Bucino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Great drive fuels the leaders of tomorrow and today. Great vision paves the way for a brighter future. Great ambition goes places, moving onward and upward. Great empathy finds strength in kindness and in each other. working together to create something bigger than they ever imagined. Great minds can change the world, and great minds start at Seton Hall.